Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Loose Screws podcast. A day late and a dollar short. It's
It's already falling apart.
You know, but this one's definitely my fault. I'm Commander J. Antrax, and last night it appears that basically nobody except poor Chig was available, and I'm never going to wish upon him recording a solo podcast, so I don't criticize his choice to not do it at all. So we're going to pick it up tonight. It's a Tuesday, and we're going to get in a little bit of podcast here because there isn't all that much to talk about anyway, and then later on we were going to do what we plan to do on Tuesday, which is AX Pod. Yes, we're going to fight the Thargoids with nothing but dolphins. It's going to be great. Or terrible. I don't know. I mean, I built a dolphin. I killed a Cyclops with it. Let's see how we do together. Let's take on the big guys. Anyway, joining me tonight, we've got a little crew here. Lark Shadow, how you doing?
I am doing all right, to be honest. And Excellent. Since we skipped the music, I'm just going to go.
Well, I'll throw it in there somewhere. I probably was going to throw it in when we were all laughing. Yes. Also here tonight is Blooming Wind.
Hello.
Greetings. Welcome. And let's not screw this up. Lieutenant Commander Dr. Data. No. Doctor,
that's good enough. Good enough.
Hi.
Yeah. Hello. Good evening.
And possibly for the first time, although I think you've managed to be here in a couple of party shows. Borked
I was
bits.
On one show with Crash once, I believe.
Redneck
roundup we did.
There we go. Borked bits a. Mainstay of the community, rare podcast guest.
Stellar commander.
Yeah, always willing to throw a dolphin against a Thargoid if asked. And so here we all are. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So we'll do a quick run around. What's new? What's shaken? As one of my podcast friends from another life says, Lark Shadow, what's new? What's shaken?
Not a lot is shaken with me, to be honest. Just sort of living life and who the frick is this? Sorry, another commander just jumped into the instance with me. So I'm just living life and working the end.
Just living life, ADHDing it up.
Squirrel.
Wonderful.
Sorry,
okay.
Want to try and make contact with somebody now. So carry on.
Very well. Anyway, that's all fine. Borked, what's going on, man? How you're always playing this game like every day, every damn day. What's up with you?
Just getting back into it. I took a couple of month hiatus. I touched grass. I touched a woman. Been a while since I did that. Yeah, crazy girl. We won't go there anymore. Back into the game. I'm going to do the dolphin thing with you guys tonight. I passed on the most recent two CGs. They just didn't seem very interesting at all.
Yeah.
If they're not going to give the module away, I'm not going to bother. I mean,
apparently that's what I'm hearing from everybody, that the participation is wildly low because the consequences are nothing.
I mean, it's not even worth sitting in a vet in a CZ, you know, just getting bounties. Not worth it. A Hazres, not a CC. Just didn't seem worth it. And don't need the credits for anything. Nobody needs any carriers, so meh.
Borked, the purchaser of carriers in the community. Donation carriers? Charity carriers?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think at least five, I think I've thrown down four. I don't know. I think about getting my alt one just for the hell of it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm never around enough when people need those sorts of credit transfers to actually buy them for people. But if you ever run out of money from giving them to other people, please let me know, because obviously I have like 40 billion that I don't need.
I know how to I know how to kill Targoids. I don't need
that. Right. I guess it's meaningless to even offer at this point. Cool.
I can drop a Cyclops in less than, what, a minute, 2 minutes, and they'll just keep flowing to me. Yeah. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Right. Cool. Mr. Bloomingwind.
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, I've been on call for like a month straight.
Yikes.
Different service each time. So, you know, I'm at Hospital A, then I'm at Hospital B doing the cardiac care unit, then I'm back at Hospital A. And it's just been real weird this week. So I was consulted for three people who were fainting, and all of them, they were psychological faints and not physical faints. So it's sort of a stress response, but there's no physiologic basis for it. And so having to break it to them that their subconscious is the problem was really hard, you know, because you don't want to tell someone you're crazy, but it is a psychological thing. And I'm blaming the Green Comet. That's what I'm blaming. I haven't had a cluster of these in a while.
Bad resonance frequencies coming off of that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then my daughter was home for the weekend, which was great. She likes to see us about once a month, which so it was really good to get her home from college for a couple of days, and then that was real nice. And then I've been basically doing BGS because, you know, BGS is life. It's kind of what I do. So I want to not do it once in a while, but like, every time I think I got everything nice, it's just like stuff explodes. And so we'll get into that in the squadron update.
Right,
stuff exploded. So,
of course it did. Of course it did. Who has the yellow taxi paint on their dolphin? No. Okay, nobody in this chat. Hold on, I need to go. I'm in camera. Wait, I can see. Yep, it's Scotty. It's Scotty. Hi, Scotty. I was just filming his beautiful dolphin came down and parked right next to mine on my carrier. Anyways, Dr. Commander, Lieutenant Commander Data, how have you been doing? What's up?
I've been doing all right. I guess my big life report is a good one. My son was recognized at a school board meeting for getting a perfect score on one of his state tests at school last year.
Oh,
one of three in their school to do that well. So pretty proud of him.
Awesome.
This week. Yeah. In gaming news, I'm still Chosen Undead in the Dark Souls remastered game. Having a lot of fun with that. You all will know exactly what I'm talking about. I beat, you know, the Bell Gargoyles, the Witch of Chaos, Ornstein and Smog. I beat Sif's Great Grey Wolf. So now I'm going to head down into New Lundo next to continue my journey. Cephalon, if you're out there listening to this, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I definitely don't, but I'm not going to, you know, whatever. That's cool. I've heard those souls are really dark.
Yeah, super dark. Like, it's hard to play during the daytime because I got the darkness turned down so low.
Yeah. Brilliant.
How you been?
Brilliant. Oh, me? Doing good. I gave... the class I'm teaching seems to be going pretty well. I gave my first assignment, which was, I teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I gave an assignment that Thursday, a real softball, lobbing this one over the fence for everybody, you know, talking about microphones and mic placement. Watch this video. It's like 12 minutes long. It's pretty fun. Talks about mic placement, a bunch of stuff we've already talked about, but has cool audio examples and stuff like that. And then, you know, a little bit of writing, like give me a few paragraphs. I even wrote him some prompts just to sort of like show your understanding of what's going on. Really softball stuff, right? So I have 15 students. I have four graduates and 11 undergrads. Five of my 15 students did not turn this in.
Statistically, that's actually right on the money.
College kids. I'm just like, this is my first teaching experience. And I mean, nobody I tell about this that has any teaching experience even blinks. But to me, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, yeah. Everybody who turned this in got 100% on it, because I'm not trying to trick, you know, I'm not like a teaching philosophy wise. I'm not trying to trick anybody or catch somebody not knowing something. I'm trying to, you know, impart an understanding here, you know? Yeah. It's like I couldn't be easier or softer about this. And literally the only way to fuck this up is to do nothing. And they managed that. I just couldn't believe it. So anyway, whatever. I guess that's how much I'll care about those students. I don't know. What else am I supposed to think?
Just be careful, because you don't want that. Yeah, I mean, you might get into a situation that they might be mad that you're holding them accountable. My thesis advisor from college just simply couldn't retire, and he's been teaching organic chemistry at NYU on year-to-year contract for, like, I think 15 years now. And during the pandemic, a whole bunch of students were complaining because they were like, his class is too hard, and he's, like, giving us work, and he expects us to show up, and, you know, the tests are hard. And it's like, I took this class, you know, I took his class like 35 years ago. And yeah, I mean, showing up and taking the tests and being prepared for them. Oh my gosh, how dare you? And he graded you two different ways. There was like 3 hourly exams, and then there was a final. And so your score was either the 3 hourlies or 2 hourlies and the final, whichever was the highest composite. Like, I mean, he's like, I'm trying to help you all.
Yeah, you know? He's giving you pick the best. You're right, yeah, exactly.
You know, and then there were and NYU fired him because they were like, you're mean. And
they're getting too many complaints.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's you're hurting, like, our.
Yeah.
Well, what's that website where people rank their professors?
Yeah.
What is that?
What is it called? Oh shoot, my wife was always looking at. Well, not always, but occasionally would look at that. Rate my. Yeah. It's not. Rate it's my, not just like rate my professor, is it?
I think.
It might be something simple like that.
Yeah, yeah, he's dinging their Yelp score is going down. It's stupid like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Rate My Prof. Yeah.
Rate My Prof. Professor. Yeah. Yeah. I don't personally know if I'm going to be asked to come back and do this again anyway, because I'm covering for like a temporary situation. At this point, I think unless my feelings change about it as we go on, I probably would be inclined to accept it if they wanted me to do it some more, because like the money's pretty good for how much work goes into it. And if I was teaching the same course again, there would be even less work, kind of thing. So, and I get educator discounts on some stuff that I buy for my audio business, which is all right. Not the more significant part of it, but it actually has a significant psychological effect for whatever reason. Anyway, I feel pretty good in game. I've been, I was BGSing for a while, and some of the wars and stuff I was working on had resolved. And so now I'm leaving that to the rest of y'all. And I went and built this AX Dolphin, and I practiced a little bit with it because the Dolphin's distributor is so small that even though it only has two small hard points, I'm worried about it, and I think this is a situation where Gauss cannons are going to be the best move, even though I prefer shards. Shards have really poor, small size shards, I should say, have really poor armor penetration. So even against a Cyclops, they're only doing like a little more than 50% of their effective damage is actually penetrating their armor. And it gets worse and worse from there. So Gauss, which have 140 armor penetration, no matter what the size, becomes a really good option if all you have is small hard. So anyway, I'm after this episode, I'm going to start streaming, and you're all going to get to see how bad I've gotten at Gauss.
I'm going to try to blind you with plasma chargers.
Yeah, there you go. The upside to that is that the small Gauss do the micro gimbaling the way railguns do. So they will actually help your aim just a little bit, whereas medium sized Gauss don't do that. They're hard mode. But you know, whatever, we'll see. I'm going to try to embarrass myself as an AX professional. I'm going to embarrass myself by going back to Gauss after getting used to other guns. So we'll see how bad I am. All right. Well, that's the size of it for me. Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Let's say we podcast a little bit. So what's the next segment we do is usually a squad update, right? All right. Here we friggin' go. Squadron briefing.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
Alrighty, well, thank you, Jan Trax, for helping us out in our most recent set of wars. We are engaged in 5 wars currently, and basically we want to win all of them but one. So LTT 17102, the Halcynian Knights have been reactivated, and they are all of 2 people. But they asked us to leave them alone. They're trying to consolidate all of the holdings in their homeworld. So we're going to let that one go. We want to win the rest. And then Begalis, we want to win it over 7 days because our friends, the Exiles, are trying to take over that system. And so having us locked in a war allows them to maneuver a lot of things without retreating us out by accident. And then, like I said, all the other ones, Yengo, Kempsigi, we want to win them. The Andromedas have been overheating of late. They need perpetual beatdowns. Thank you to everybody who's beat them down in the last few days. And then Kalarum's going to Kalarum. So that's all there is.
Kalarum's got a Kalarum.
Kalarum is Detroit.
Yes. So the details are in the standing orders. They've been coming in a little late of late, partly because I've been on call and partly because Inara's not been updating. So there we are. That's the squad update. Thank you for everyone who flies.
I like that. Thank you for everyone who flies. All right. Put a pin in that little clip.
Flies into a brick wall sometimes, but you know, same diff. Yeah.
Thank you, nevertheless. All right. And thank you for keeping on top of all that nonsense. Wow. What a job.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, let's go on. We've got another segment, another episode of the Tin Hattium Express. So let's get into that.
On the board, the Tin Hattium Express!
You're really going to make this an inside joke episode?
Yep.
I think it's incredibly rude. Most people don't have access to the booth.
Hey champ, that's really interesting. Next time, keep it to yourself.
You humans and your stupid memes. I suppose there's no point in arguing with you, is there?
No.
Fine then. Might as well get this shit show rolling.
September 5th, Wallglass to probe Rackham's past, because the press has nothing better to report on.
That's really interesting.
September 7th, rescue megaships scheduled to redeploy. A brilliant idea to move the ships closer to danger.
Oh yeah? That's interesting.
September 8th, upgraded Xenoscanner requires resources. Brand new community goal for ages.
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's all we have for you this week. Have fun out there.
I cannot wait for those ships to move.
Oh my god, are you kidding me?
Oh, the yip things. That was a core memory. I remember being afraid of those when I was a child.
Yeah, core memory.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, flip.
The inside joke thing. I will say this. That's so interesting is an inside joke inside other inside jokes. That one's not as public as the rest of them. I was dying and choking on my own breath the whole time.
It's inside jokeception.
It is inside joke. It is an inside joke that happened not in public. Anyway,
One of these days I'm expecting the Tin Hattium Express to open with one of us speaks in riddles, one of us speaks in rhymes.
Oh gosh.
Yikes. Okay. Thanks, Bard, for that fantastic episode of the Tin Hattium Express. On that note, so what's been going on in game? Do we want to comment? Does anybody want to comment on the stuff that's going on right now with the CG and the creating of the human sensitive Titan pulse wave scanner and Sirius Corporation has now offered to provide technology to extract humans once they can be located.
I so hope that means Sirius is making a subsurface displacement missile launcher to blow those freakers out of the Titan.
You're drilling towards these humans, and then they explode right next to them.
I mean, it's only on fire for a minute. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, it's a vacuum. It's fine.
That's true.
Yes,
well, actually, you don't know what the atmosphere is like in there.
True that.
It's ammonia.
Yeah, just one goes off and the whole Titan just explodes.
You've ruptured our life support pods.
The only thing that would make it better is if Etienne Dorn was the community goal for this.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Yes, please.
But I mean, really, it's going to be limpets, right?
It's going to be limpets.
It's going to be limpets.
Yeah. It's going to disappointingly be limpets. My remaining hope is still that that's not the end of the story. I mean, sure, it's going to be limpets and whatever, but eventually we'll get, you know, we'll move on. Eventually we'll move on to the interesting stuff. It won't happen this calendar year.
I just had an even better idea.
We'll find out what that major feature update. Find out what it's going to be.
Non-existent major feature update.
Yeah.
That was some limpets.
No, the major feature update is core mining the Titan.
Just exploding it like bit by bit.
I've always wanted to do that to a Cyclops, though. Core mine charges.
All these mining tools gonna get turned into AX weapons, and somewhere Zamina Torval is laughing.
I mean, speaking of, you're like core subsurface charges, and what were they? Seismic charges is what they're
called.
That's
the one. Yeah.
I mean, a weapon that that sort of functioned like that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Like, maybe it's pretty difficult to land a hit, but once you do, it like burrows in and then does like tremendous internal damage. You know,
something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that would be a neat weapon that's unlike anything else we have.
Well, then we'd have to have another CG for point defenses that can defend against that.
Sure.
It reminds me of the only good part from the Star Wars prequels movies. I think it's episode 2 when Obi-Wan's getting chased by Jango
Fett. The sound effect.
Yeah.
God, it was so good.
Which they got to reprise, of course, when Boba Fett shows up again.
Yes,
the sound effect. The unbelievable sound effect of the seismic charge. Fantastic.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, for being a vacuum, a lot of stuff sounds cool in space.
And then you had to go and ruin it, Lark.
Sorry.
Neil Tyson would be proud.
Right. Okay. Well, I personally think that's it. We've done it. Nobody needs more podcasters repeating again that they're disappointed that it's going to be limpet play. So here's another thing that came across the old desk. And I was hoping Nurgle was going to be here because he's the one who suffered through this and then discovered it for us. But apparently, during the 16.1 update, the scythe behavior was changed. So Nurgle goes hunting for scythes one night. And I think this was the night that I was running around engineering parts for my dolphin. So I'm there watching him like in Discord, like, how come I can't find any of these things? I have escape pods. I've been bouncing around and we're like, maybe you're in the wrong system. We're checking it out. He busts his head against that wall for ages and can't get interdicted by a scythe. Mm-hmm. And eventually he goes hunting around. He pokes around in AXI Discord and finds this conclusion that they've noticed and come to. So scythe grind, this is a quote now from AXI. Scythe grinding is really hard now because passive interdictions have stopped with the 16.01 update. So hyperdictions are now the only time that you'll encounter a scythe. The easiest way to find them now, so scratch my last comment. That was an interjection from Justin. Don't listen to him. The easiest way to find them now is to look for non-human signal source threat fours in control systems, Thargoid control systems. And those will have 1 to 3 scythes plus a random guard of scouts or one interceptor, followed by another wave of guards in that pattern about every 3 minutes. So to find them now, you have to go into these threat fours, which I think they were always in. They were always a possibility in threat fours. But now that's the only way to get them unless you get hyperdicted. So my take on that is like the scythes get put in the game in update 16. And because they don't stick to their own territory and they actually can come after you when you have escape pods, I'm assuming, I heard this, like people whined about it, right? So players whine, this is too hard or something
that. Cool. How could anyone be whining? It was neat, immersive new gameplay.
I'm not saying everybody whined, but I know for sure people whined, and it's some of this like, and I can't imagine, because like who is whining? Like people doing rescue missions, people moving human beings near the Thargoid front? They had to be interested in the Thargoid War to be here doing that, right? And they're getting, so I'm assuming people whine, and then update 1601 comes around and basically that little bit of it gets pulled out. Essentially the scythe's behavior gets nerfed, and now it's much more like you have to go looking for them, except for maybe random high predictions, but that's a lot less likely.
I mean, so I ran into the scythe like 5 minutes after updating to 16.0. I was in HIP 4907, which is one of our systems. I picked up some escape pods because honestly, I'm going to go to Colonia one day and unlock those engineers. And
so you're just storing them.
And yeah, I'm just storing them. So I got some from the Hazrez from combat. I'm coming back and I get interdicted, like hyperdicted. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then there's this like this Thargoid and it's shooting me with lightning. And I'm just like, I got to get out of here. So first thing was I started shooting at it with my Corvette, which has no anti-Xeno weapons, does nothing. And then I realized, wait, I'm not dying yet. Let me just get out of here. So I turn around, I get out of there, and then, you know, and then I'm like, wait. And so, you know, there were Thargoids in Screw Space. And I'm like, that's not normal. But I was like, oh.
We're not that far from it. We're not that far from the Oya sector, but like, we're a little bit far.
Yeah. And so at that point, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to use these as bait. And by the time I get my act together and use them as bait, it's already 16.0.1 and I can't freaking find one. And I'm like, where'd they all go? You know? And, I'm disappointed that they were nerfed because I think they added a little bit of they can be anywhere. And it was immersively fun. And they're not that bad in that they're not insta-kill. Like if you get pulled by a Hydra and he's angry, he'll kill you in 2 seconds if you're not an AX ship. It was like, even if you are, but still.
So here's my question on this then. Is there a note in the patch notes saying that that was changed?
I've never seen it. I think this had to be, this was observed behavior from AXI. Well, I did read the patch notes and I didn't see any mention of that.
Yeah, because if it isn't in there and it's just observed behavior, that makes me think that maybe the change was unintentional.
That's possible.
Because that never happens in this game.
I disagree. Things do get changed that don't get made into the patch notes. Are you being serious?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah. So, because that happens all the time. And a lot of times when it's stuff about it's not that uncommon when it's things like this, like behaviors, because they don't always want us to know.
Right.
I think this one was so quick. They were so quick to just nerf it back that, I don't know. I think it was the wrong move. I think it was another step in the
reaction to the vocal minority.
You know, are they the minority or are they not? Like, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I would want to hope that they're the minority, but I wonder. All the way back to the beginning of this war, there has been a steady push to, because it's a major focus of the story, they had to make Thargoids in general a little more accessible to like people who haven't gone through all the trouble of unlocking certain parts and building up their skills and stuff like that. And I've always said from the beginning that that was a good thing to a certain extent, but at the total loss of basically any high level anti-Xeno combat. Like it's basically been subtracted from several places throughout the game, and there's been no content for anything difficult or dangerous. Like it's all been very entry level. And I know that they're trying to do that on purpose to a certain extent, but to have something like this that, like Blooming Wind, are you an AX player?
Not so much. No, I mean, not really.
But you didn't find this thing to be overly threatening. It was an interesting piece of gameplay, you thought.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I was more the shock value, and then let me go after these things. And then I didn't really get a chance because of the change. And then, I mean, now I have to go seek them out. But, I started, the first time I actually did AX in earnest was after moving to PC and flying with you guys. When we had that Piranha Night, and I just kind of threw together a...
we did it in small ships.
We did it in small ships. Yeah, and that was like my first real exposure. I mean, I built an AX on my Xbox, an AX crate, but all I ever did was shoot scouts because I just didn't have anyone to play with. And so once I flew with you guys and I was in a small ship and I didn't die and I, helped kill a few interceptors, I was like, I can do this. And then that built my confidence. And so really the idea of, nerfing this, I mean, you want to have scenarios that are accessible for anybody, but you also do want to have the tougher content there. So, I mean, they really should have thought of, different zones for different degrees of difficulty so that people could participate. And then winning by biopsy, I think, is a little bit ridiculous.
The sampling.
Yeah, just sampling. I mean, if they kind of weighed combat for pushing things back a little heavier and then did have the biopsy option, I think that, that would be a better way for the grizzled AX pilots like you to still have something you're enjoying. And then, maybe some of these guys, after they get their feet wet a little while, say, hey, let me fly with the big dogs a little bit and my confidence will grow. So, I mean, like, I can take out a Cyclops solo without any issue. I have a hard time with a Basilisk. Is that the next one, a Basilisk?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a tough time with a Basilisk, but then anything else, I need friends. But I don't fly a lot of AX because I'm just so busy with BGS. But having friends to fly with is what built my confidence and built my ability. I mean, flying with Borked, who's on tonight, is, he was very patient with me, being a knucklehead trying to fly around and do these things, talking me through it as I'm flying with him. And it was great.
Yeah.
It's a fun dance.
It's
a fun dance to learn the steps of. And it's only hard till it's easy. And then it gets easy.
Yeah.
And it's need something to challenge like that again. And so far the sides and the glaives aren't it.
Oh, I mean, have you tried taking on a Titan yet?
I spent 3 or 4 hours mining. It was as boring as mining. It made my eyes bleed.
Right. I also want to say that I'm glad that my theory of the Thargoids are sampling us back to even it out is correct. Even if only technically.
Technically correct, the best kind of correct.
Yeah.
Well, so Elite Dangerous has, I believe I can sum this up. Elite Dangerous has the potential of a super, super high skill ceiling, but still has a relatively low, like, skill floor, right? So there's a huge dynamic there. And the skill floor has been expanded dramatically this calendar year. And a lot of content has been added to near the bottom of that. But nothing has been done to even start to work people up to the top. I mean, there are Thargoid, where there are still Thargoid conflict zones, where invasions still happen, they were these weird easy mode conflict zones that almost never see anything enter them other than a Cyclops.
We're out in the Pleiades right now, so we can play with Thargoids tonight.
Where they've always been.
Yeah.
Where they've always been. We're going to come here. Content. I mean, partially because we want to go, we want to pick our Thargoid so that we can challenge a Basilisk or a Medusa directly. But if there's a lot of people here and we end up bigger than a wing, then we'll go to the megaship. And here it'll be random. We might get other things. So the other side of this coin is back in the war zone, the war front. If you want to find something that isn't just all the easiest Thargoids, something where larger ones can challenge you, you have to go into Thargoid-controlled space, which is a much bigger skill jump. There are no support ships. There's no available repairs. You have to go out of system for any of that. You can't put your carrier in there, and you get constantly interdicted on your way to the zone. So there's a huge cliff.
Right, I'm reminded
that you have to scale. You can't just work your way up from like a low intensity conflict zone and then in human controlled space to a high one, because even the high ones don't really exist there, but they just don't come with any bigger Thargoids anyway. You have to go to Thargoid controlled space for that, and then you're getting glaived over and over again on your way out there, and you find that your Guardian guns have already been destroyed by the time you get there, and you got to AFM to repair them because you can't stop for repairs along the way.
Then the Medusa jumps out while you're repairing.
Right, exactly. And you go, it goes from 0 to 100. So that's my complaint. It's like I wish there was sort of a better system for that. The other thing that I'm putting in the show notes is a link. There was a recent video from Commander Mekin from the AXI about other Thargoid behavior changes. Now, I think he actually made this prior to them discovering this thing about size. It might have even been prior to update 16. Well, that can't be true because he mentions it. Anyway, since update 15 and 16, a few behaviors have changed. So the working theory is that it's related to the fact that the Hunter class was added, and that required a few changes. And they're, without going through them all here, there's a bunch of kind of small changes. Most of them are kind of annoying, but they appear to be side effects of game mechanics that had to be added to get the Hunter class working. The changes to the way lightning works, changes to Thargoid aggression and like staying on target and stuff like that. So now when you fight Thargoid solo, if you get too far away from them, and I'm not talking about like 30 kilometers, I'm talking about like on the order of 6 or 7. I had one jump out on me at less than 10 kilometers away, and they'll just jump out. It was while I was doing this dolphin fight, because I don't have a thermal vent laser on this dolphin because I only have 2 hard points. So I have nothing to keep its aggro on me while I'm drifting and waiting for its shield to go down. I accidentally got too far away, and the thing left with 1 heart to go, and that was very frustrating. That happened to me twice, actually, while I was testing out this dolphin. And anyway, so those behaviors are explained in this video. Yeah, I mean, they're annoying for people who want to fight Thargoids. I agree with Mekin as he says that they're not, on the whole, they're not good changes, even though they may have been side effects, you know? So
throughout that rant, I was reminded of something from back in my World of Warcraft days. For those who don't know, in World of Warcraft, there's this area called the Barrens. It's kind of a low level area. It goes from like level 1 or 5 all the way up to like 15 or 20, right? In content, right? Okay. But there was one specific exit off of one side of the Barrens that went into a level 40 to 50 area. At least in the old school WoW, it did. And if you didn't know that and just wandered out of the desert and into this forest, you get smacked down by these much higher level things. And that reminds me of what's going on with the Thargoid War, like you were saying. And eventually what Blizzard did is they actually ended up changing the area. So there was a few more ramps. So it went from like maybe 15 to 20 to like maybe 25 to 30 level content, and then you would get to the 40 to 50 level content after that. They spread it out more, and that's what feels like kind of needs to happen with the Thargoid War right now, where the most dangerous stuff should be in and around the Titan, and it should be scaling down the farther away you get from that. Ideally, anyways, that's how I would see it in my head.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like nerfing the scythe's behavior is a step in the wrong direction from that perspective, right? Because it was this not particularly powerful Thargoid that would reach out sort of beyond the front of the war. And now it doesn't really reach out beyond the front of the war, or at least it does it less so. It's like harder to get attacked by them.
Exactly. And I had the feeling before that the scythe was maybe part of that kind of like level skill ramp that I was talking about.
Yeah.
And that even you were describing. And that's why I think the change may have just been unintentional and maybe it's doing that. But you know,
well, maybe I guess we'll see if it changes again at the next update, right?
Exactly,
because they didn't say anything about it.
So. It'll change back, and they'll be like, "What change? What are you talking about?"
Well, if that happens, I mean that's fine. Mistake, you know, whatever. Mistakes happen.
Hashtag TFT.
Anyway. Any other comments on this? This is basically all the content I have for podcasting for about this game, right?
So yeah, I'm good.
Yep.
Everybody feeling great. All right. What's up?
Nope.
Oh, he was just agreeing. He was just sorry.
Yeah.
I like nope, make him talk. Make him talk.
That's all right. No, I never make people talk who don't want to talk. Well, all of the people, all of the cast members who usually come up with things, the extra fluff segments that we do aren't here.
I can do a cheese.
Oh, I was about to say, so there's nothing to stop me from just ending the show without doing them. And then here comes Lark.
No, you're going to get cheesed.
Riding on a stallion to save the day. All right,
riding in on a stallion with a block of Colby Jack.
Colby Jack, that's like the cheese every third week.
I don't care.
It's a good cheese. Look, I'm not complaining. It's a good cheese.
It's an every third week kind of cheese.
It's a, yeah. You know what? You're right. And I rescind my remark.
Oh, that's all I got.
Colby Jack, eat it.
Now, do we remember when Chig Chat was used to congratulate pilots in our squadron for achievements? Yes.
I remember that a pilot that deserves congratulations has now newly emerged.
Yes. So Jared Crew earned triple elite, grinding away in several wars on our behalf. So,
mm-hmm.
So congratulations and thank you, Jared Crew. Now you got that fancy schnazzy logo for the front of your Corvette.
You know what? We haven't played the Chig Chat song in so long that we're going to give you, for Jared, for you, we're going to do the Chig Chat sound. Here we go. It's Chig Chat. Yeah, that's a
fact. It's Chig Chat. Where the cheese at? We here at Loose Screws never end a sentence with a preposition.
There you go. That's some classic Loose Screws bullshit right there.
It was beautiful.
It's been a long time.
Fantastic. If there's nothing else, I think we can sign this recording off.
Yep.
Word.
Yeah. Word. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And I will tell you right now that right after this, I'm just going to leave the stage channel on. I'm going to take a quick break to like let the dogs out and stuff, and I'm going to transition into streaming mode, and the Twitch will turn online, and then we're going to go. A couple of people are already out here, and we'll see who's going to turn up. So my carrier is parked in Salino in the nebula. And like I said, we'll find some signal sources, we'll challenge some Thargoids and see how big of one we can take down. And if there gets to be too many people, we'll go to the megaship. So come on out if you can hear my voice and you want to play. Other than that, thanks everyone for listening. And thanks for joining me, Lark Shadow, Borked Bits, Blooming Wind, and Commander, Lieutenant Commander, Dr. Data. And thanks, of course, to the patrons for making the show possible. Frankly, we make more than we spend on our recording technology. So we keep talking about doing some kind of event and buying some merch and giving it away and stuff. So that's still what we plan to do. At some point a few weeks ago, I promoted Audaxius to being the event manager for the squad, and then he got sick / started playing Starfield all the time, and nothing has happened. So if you all would
call out,
listeners, I think hopefully he's not like sick anymore. Hopefully he's just sick, spelled Starfield.
Yeah.
And in which case it is totally morally acceptable to call him out. So if you're listening to the podcast, call out Audaxius for not scheduling whatever fun event that we can give away some of this Patreon stuff that is just sitting here doing nothing. We may as well buy merch with it and give it back to the people. So that's what I want to do. All right. So thanks, everybody. If you want to support the show, you know where to go. Links in the show notes. And we'll see you next week for another exciting episode of Talking with Friends About Space, or whatever it is I said.
Space Buddies.
Space Chats with Buddies, or whatever. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next time. Say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Later, y'all.
Good night.